a really interesting presentation from Jason Wilson and Jarvis Griner. Although Jarvis isn't here today, Wayne Griner will be substituting for him from Biola University. A 2014 MLB case study in quantitative pitch mapping using the quality of pitch and something they've developed called the Griner Index on pitch FX data. So welcome to Wayne and Dr. Wilson.
Okay, thank you, Vince. Well, good afternoon. My name is Wayne Griner from Griner Agencies Incorporated, and presenting with me today is Dr. Jason Wilson, Professor of Mathematics and Statistics at Biola University in Los Angeles, California. Before we begin our presentation, Jason and I would first just like to thank and acknowledge the rest of our research team, beginning with Jarvis Griner, who, like Vince said, can't be here, but who, with Dr. Wilson, have really been true pioneers in the area of pitch quantification research. Jarvis is out of the country, but hopefully next year he'll be able to attend. Joel Pixler, one of our research assistants, is here today. Joel, if you would please stand. Our other research assistant is Rebecca Lee, who is back in Los Angeles. And we would also like to thank former MLB pitcher John Verhoeven for his contribution to this research. John is back in Anaheim. And lastly but not least, I want to thank Sabre for this opportunity to share our research with you today. Pitch quantification. What exactly does that mean? What can it do, and what type of questions can it answer? If a Cy Young award-winning pitcher, who is also a league MVP, posts a 1.77 ERA in the regular season and yet finishes the postseason with an ERA of 7.82, is this a result of poor playoff pitching or exceptional hitting by the opposition? Later in this presentation, we will demonstrate the use of pitch quantification to answer this question. We will also attempt to answer the following. When two no-hit games are pitched, can a quantification index help us objectively identify the better pitching performance? Can pitch quantification direct a manager or catcher to determine pitch selection? Can a quantification index detect pitch deterioration that may precede an injury? Can an index validate or refute the outcome of certain pitcher-batter matchups? Many of us are here at this conference because we recognize that the great game of baseball truly is a game of numbers. Yet for decades, pitchers have been defined by either velocity in miles per hour or by subjective descriptions such as a nasty curveball, a wicked changeup, or a wipeout slider. But where are the real numbers? We do rank pitchers by ERA. However, this statistic is determined by many factors out of the pitcher's control, such as reaction by the hitter, judgment by the umpire, or defensive alignment by the fielders. Should a pitcher be defined as successful when he makes a bad pitch and it's hit hard, but directly into the shifted defense? Should a pitch be defined as poor when it is well executed, but still results in a home run and a higher ERA? Pitch quantification removes the subjective factors that cloud the assessment of a pitcher and judges him on only those things that are within his control. We believe that quick pitch quantification is needed in the game of baseball. Now we will show you how we believe it can be achieved. Dr. Wilson.
So to quantify a pitch, we break it into three components. And I apologize, I've got one laser and two screens. I'm going to use the one on your right. So we break it into velocity, trajectory, and location. Velocity, we know, measured by miles per hour. Trajectory and location, there's a variety of ways to do it, and we've got some I'll show in a minute. But we boil those into one index we call the Griner Index, named after my colleague Jarvis Griner. When we combine the grinder index with miles per hour, we have what we call the quality of pitch that assesses the quality of the ball pitched. So in our early work, which was published in Chance, peer-reviewed statistical journal last year, we used a low-tech method to do curveballs. So I'm going to describe that first. Okay, we broke it into four parts. So first is the rise. That is the amount the ball goes off of the release point up. Second is the total break, which is simply the total vertical break of the ball. Third, breaking point, which is the length the ball goes after release until it begins to go down. And then lastly is location. What we did is we took about the knee of the batter as the target, and so distance away from that target was the measurement. Again, using a low-tech method, we measured these values, and these pitches were assessed in a video production center by a pitching coach, rating them on a scale of 0 to 100. 100 was the absolute best quality a curveball could be. 0, terrible quality. And this was where John Verhoeven came in. Now, we applied that data into a statistical multiple regression linear model, and this is the model output that was published in our paper. I have the model up here, and I'm going to speak of it in terms of an example. So in our example, we've got a curveball that was pitched that had a 3-inch rise with a total vertical break of 48 inches, breaking at 21.5 inches out, and its location was 8 inches off of the target. That pitch would score, using the Grinder Index, at a 53.6. I'd like to point out that when you plug those numbers in, it's a negative coefficient multiplier on the rise, and it's negative on the location, because those are numbers that are working against the good quality, and it's a positive coefficient on the total break and on the break point. Now, that's what we did last year, and since then, we have now updated this for PitchFX data. So we've included a horizontal break. We've improved the location parameter to now be the official strike zone, and the target is the corners of the strike zone. So going into the center and then outside the strike zone is going to work against you. We've expanded it from just curveballs to all pitches, and again, we're using PitchFX data. So combining all of that, we have our revised Grinder Index, and when we combine Grinder Index with miles per hour, gives us our quality of pitch, QOP. This is the scale for QOP that we'll use in the case study. 5 is the number to watch. That's the quality MLB pitch. The scale is negative 10 to 10, roughly, although it's conceivable that pitches will go outside of that. A few of them do. Okay, Wayne.
We want to show you a few pitches now, just to demonstrate. On June 18th, 2014, Clayton Kershaw pitched a no-hit game versus the Colorado Rockies. Here you can see him throwing a four-seam fastball that's recorded at 92 miles per hour. Most fans would credit Clayton with throwing a good pitch since it was resulted in a strike. However, because of minimal movement and poor location, this pitch was only awarded 2.96 QOP value by our index and would be defined as a mediocre pitch. This pitch was very hittable and could have produced the first hit of the game. Okay, on May 26th, 2014, Hyunjin Ryu was pitching a no-hit game, and here he throws a curveball at 74 miles per hour with excellent late break and great location, and registers an 8.09 QOP value using our index. This is an above-average pitch. One day earlier, on May 25th, Josh Beckett pitched his no-hitter, and here he threw a changeup at 85 miles per hour, but with very poor location, that again would be classified as a poor pitch with a QOP rating of negative 2.49. Now let's look at our case study. The Los Angeles Dodgers pitching staff made history in 2014. After posting a team record 1,373 strikeouts, as well as ace Clayton Kershaw setting a single season strikeout to walk ratio record of 7.71, this staff validated its reputation as one of the best in baseball. We will demonstrate how pitch quantification can provide new data in examining and evaluating this talented group. Dr. Wilson.
Before we get into the five questions, I want to briefly review two key statistics. First one is a p-value. That is the probability that the difference from what is expected is due to chance. We're just going to use the usual benchmark of a 0.05 or 5%. So if the p-value falls below 0.05, we say the result is statistically significant, and any differences we're seeing are most likely not due to chance. For example, on Kershaw's regular 2014 season MPH, he got 92.96 average. Postseason, 93.38 average. The p-value on those two numbers is below 0.0001, indicating that it's highly likely that he really was throwing faster in postseason. Second example is this line plot. On the y-axis is the QOP value from our scale, and then the x-axis is simply the pitches pitched in order. In this case, we can see a trend line here that visibly is roughly flat, and that's confirmed with the p-value of 0.37. Question one.
Now to our five questions. So question one in our case study, how can pitch quantification enable us to objectively compare pitching performance? The Los Angeles Dodgers pitched two no-hitters in 2014, Josh Beckett on May 25th versus the Phillies, and Clayton Kershaw on June 18th versus the Rockies. But who really pitched the better game? Using our index, we can rate and compare these pitchers using an objective standardized scale that will eliminate all subjective factors that could distort analysis. Based on traditional statistics, we may conclude that Clayton Kershaw pitched a superior game. With no walks, 15 strikeouts, and only 107 pitches thrown, his performance on June 18th could be considered better than that of Josh Beckett. However, we also need to recognize that Colorado hit only 228 on the road in 2014, whereas Philadelphia hit 239 at home. This suggests that Clayton Kershaw may have faced a weaker batting lineup than did Josh Beckett.
So using QOP here, I've got the QOPs of Beckett and Kershaw in a histogram by integer. So for example, in the eights, we see that Kershaw had about 5% of his pitches in the eight range, whereas Beckett only had about 3%. And similarly, Kershaw had higher proportions of higher QOP and vice versa in the lower. This favors Kershaw. If we do the full-blown line graph, it doesn't look very informative. There's a lot of variation here, as we would expect. So let's go to statistics. In the statistics, we're going to show Jordan Zimmerman and Tim Lincecum, who pitched the other two no-hitters of the 2014 season, just as an added comparison. So looking at MPH first, we see that Kershaw is throwing faster than Beckett on average. Interestingly, they're between Zimmerman and Lincecum. Moving into our other metrics here, which incorporate trajectory and location, we see if we look at the Griner index, only the off-speed pitches, Beckett rises to the top, average QOP of 2.8 compared to Kershaw's 2.63. If we go to fastballs, then Kershaw actually comes to the top above Beckett. And if we combine everything together into the QOP, then Kershaw is above all four of the others with Beckett at the bottom. Considering all these factors, we believe that Kershaw did throw the better no-hitter, but it's closer than traditional statistics would imply because Kershaw's 4.76 compared to Beckett's 4.34 are not statistically significantly different. Question two.
What could be even more compelling is that the day after Josh Beckett's no-hitter, Hyunjin Ryu posts a higher quality of pitch average of 5.09, but it did not result in a no-hitter. Ryu was only two innings away from posting consecutive no-hitters for the Dodgers, but unfortunately, back-to-back changeups thrown to Todd Frazier in the eighth inning resulted in a double down the third base line and spoiled the no-hit bid. Question number two, could a quantification index have assisted in pitch selection and preserved this no-hitter by identifying when and where certain pitches should be thrown? Analysis of a batter's weaknesses, as well as being able to identify a consistent pattern in pitch quality, can give us significant insight. If we can objectively determine that a pitcher's curveball has begun to rapidly decline in quality, then a different pitch type could and should be selected. In addition to pregame preparation, mid-game adaptations can be made in real time with hard numbers to support managerial decisions.
Okay, so on this slide, we've got the whole 2014 season for Ryu. Top is average miles per hour, and then bottom is QOP. And these are of his off-speed pitches, and you'll notice that it's steady. The p-values are high, pitch and steady. In the game in question on the 26th, we visibly see an increase in his miles per hour, but note the p-value is high, so steady miles per hour in game. By contrast, when we go to the QOP for his off-speed pitches, the visible decline is confirmed with the low p-value. What this shows us is that we can detect an in-game decline in Ryu's off-speed pitches that wasn't able to be detected with MPH. As a result, we believe that QOP could be used by a team in-game to help with pitch selection. Question three.
Number three, can pitch quantification help identify or prevent injury? The average MLB salary is $3.8 million. This investment can be undermined by a fundamental flaw in baseball psychology. Most trainers and managers need player feedback to identify injury. Medical staff may have to wait for an individual player to come forward and admit that they are hurt or are experiencing discomfort. Players want to compete and may avoid revealing any concerns that could lead to their removal from the lineup. Players may keep aches and pains to themselves, and this could lead to injury. 2 months after his June no-hitter, Josh Beckett succumbed to a hip injury on August 3rd versus the Cubs that ended his 2014 season and proved to be the last game of his career. Could this injury have been identified through pitch quantification, leading to treatment or prevention, allowing the team to initiate a proactive approach in protecting the health of the player?
In these graphs, we see Beckett's fastballs in miles per hour and QOP from the time of his no-hitter to the injury on August 3rd. With the MPH, though there's a slight visible slope down, p-value is high, no statistically significant decline. However, with QOP, there is a statistically significant decline measured, which shows that we can detect cross-game decline with QOP that was unable to be detected by MPH. As a result, we believe that this data could be used by a team in 2015 or in the future to potentially help to prevent injury. Question four.
Number four, can we truly identify the quality of a hitter before we've quantified the pitches he is facing? Batting statistics are highly dependent on many factors, such as pitcher matchups, playing conditions, and defensive alignment. Using pitch quantification, we can validate a batter's ability to hit quality pitches consistently. If a player is hitting 300, but his QOPA per hit is low, we may objectively conclude he is facing weaker competition and may be unable to maintain this average. Conversely, a player hitting 200 after facing high-quality pitching may be projected to return to a higher batting average when the level of competition returns to normal. Pitch quantification can validate hitters who have a high success rate versus certain pitchers, increasing their importance and value. One example of this analysis is Adam Dunn versus Clayton Kershaw. Dunn, being a left-handed hitter with a high career strikeout ratio versus one of the best lefties in the game in Kershaw, one would anticipate that this mismatch would favor Kershaw. However, Dunn recently retired, posted a batting average of .615 versus Kershaw, which is exceptional compared to his league average of .225. Are these numbers the result of Kershaw's poor pitch quality or exceptional hitting by Adam Dunn? Kershaw's QOPA of 5.20 versus Dunn is much higher than his 7-year quality of pitch average of 4.49. This confirms that Adam Dunn is not merely hitting mistakes or poor pitches, but rather excellent pitches, validating his success against Kershaw. If acquired for less than market value, Dunn would represent tremendous value to a team in the National League West who may face Kershaw 6 or 7 times a year. The quality of individual pitches has the ability to confirm subjective statistics. Directly or indirectly, all results that stem out of a baseball game have their roots in how good each individual pitch is and how consistently quality pitches are being thrown. Some of these confirmations and refutations can boost the confidence of a player to keep doing what is working or correct himself when needed. The ability to perform in pressure situations is not something that comes naturally to all ballplayers. However, performance can often be visually skewed when results are all most fans, coaches, and analysts have for observation. Clayton Kershaw was labeled by some as not being able to pitch successfully in the postseason, and it has raised many questions about his ability to win a World Series title. A 1-5 record with a 5.12 career postseason ERA are not numbers we would expect from this MVP. Can he perform under pressure? Does he deserve to be one of the highest paid players in baseball?
Looking at the statistics for Kershaw's regular season QOPs, here's a graph. We're looking at a steady QOP. Going to postseason, in his graph here, although we see a decline, p-value 0.5 would indicate not a statistically significant decline. So let's go to the stats. If you just skim down the p-value column, there's only one that goes below 0.05. The others are all quite high. In that one is his fastball speed, which, as we saw before, increased in postseason. Now, despite the p-values, all the other stats are favored in regular season. So there is a slight degradation there. But it's really not much. It's not statistically significant. So, from a statistical perspective, performance declines from the regular to postseason are slight, if any. This leads me to conclude that the results are due to other factors. Assuming the other primary factor is batters, this implies that Kershaw faced significantly stronger batting performance rather than had a personal pitching drop in quality.
After seeing some of the implications that a quantification index can bring to the game of baseball, we can start to envision its potential. QOP numbers can cross borders and language barriers and can translate internationally. A player from Japan or Cuba or another country can be accurately compared to a pitcher from North America by determining their QOP numbers with a standardized scale that everybody can use. Another benefit is the insight provided to change how amateur players can train to become professionals. Most aspiring high school ball players are convinced that the only path to pro baseball is to throw 90 plus miles per hour. The focus on trying to increase velocity instead of learning how to throw quality pitches with velocity can lead to disappointment. A focus on pitching quality pitches would give all amateurs an effective measuring tool as they try to develop their consistency instead of only checking the radar gun. Our conclusion is we believe that pitch quantification has the potential to enhance the great game of baseball one pitch at a time. Before we take any questions, we just want to comment on this slide. You may be wondering about some of the data we've already compiled. We have already assigned a QOP value to over 5 million MLB pitches. So every pitch for the last 7 years has been given a QOP value. So historical data we are going to release almost immediately, and you will be able to see historical averages from 08 to 2014. We'll also be able to release it by MLB team. If you want to see what team their overall quality of pitch has either increased or decreased over the last 7 years, we will be able to show that. Also, current QOP by player, this is something where we're envisioning right now to just disclose to the teams themselves. And we have come up with a custom pitch chart that we would be able to send to each MLB team after each game that would show every QOP value for each pitch that was thrown. And of course, we'll also be able to post QOP averages for the current season as well. And we want to show you one last slide. We didn't want to leave this without giving you some real numbers here. So if you look at the top chart here, you will see by pitch type QOP values. We haven't put every pitch up there, but you'll see the four-seam fastball, two-seam changeup, etc. The max will show you the best quality of pitch that has been thrown in the last 7 years, plus the average is the average over the last 7 years. And then you can see the vertical. This is the averages and the max again for the last 7 years. What's interesting, if you see the averages for the last 3 years, they have not changed at all. So it shows us the quality of pitching isn't really gone up the last 3 years, but it also hasn't decreased as well. We want to mention our team kits as well. If you are here with an MLB team and with their analytics department, we have prepared a pitch quantification manual or kit for each MLB team. So please see us before the conference is over if you are the head of or the main representative for an MLB analytic team. I think questions.
Yep.
Do we have time, Mark, for a few questions? 5 minutes? Does anybody have any questions about what you have seen here today? Yes. Very good question. We envision once we can assign that value to a pitch and establish the quality of pitch, now we can truly quantify hitters. So we would be able to come back and we could say only this list of hitters can hit this quality of pitch. So once you've gotten that value for the pitch, now you can actually assess the hitters. That's our plan in the future. Yes?
How do you think the subjective analysis can be improved?
Well, we're trying to remove all subjective analysis from this equation. We want to remove deception from the pitcher. We want to remove anticipation by the hitter. We want to remove the strike zone that umpire might be calling that day. We want it strictly to be on what the pitcher can control. So what we are doing with this index, we're removing all of the camouflage that some pitchers have hidden behind. This is just going to show the true numbers from what that pitcher is throwing, the true quality. Does that answer your question? Okay, Jason, do you want to comment on that, or is it?
No, we got another
okay. one. Sorry, yes. Sorry, what was that? We're not. That's another one that, okay.
So at this point, we are just running everything as they are. In the future, we can include a park effect into models. You'll notice on the couple slides back, down at the bottom for further research, these are effects that we could compute and then take into account. For example, if you had a really bad weather game, then you could account for that.
Can I also add, we're even charting things like, is it a day game, is it a night game? Do certain pitchers throw better quality pitches during the day game than they do in the night? You know, things like that. Or maybe at temperatures, we'll post the temperature. Do they throw better quality pitches in cold weather versus extreme hot weather? We are charting that. We're even charting, is it a left-hand batter, right-hand batter, but also with the pitchers, we're charting that. But we've made no, you're talking about mirroring it, like flipping it around? We haven't scaled it for left versus right-handed.
So as you could tell in the work that I showed that we had published, we're using a multiple regression model. And so park effects, handedness effects, these could be included in a multiple regression model. We were busy just pulling all this stuff together here for now. So those are things that could be included in future work, but we haven't gotten to yet. The question was about intended pitcher location versus the actual location. So the data that we're using is PitchFX data, and obviously it only gives you where the ball crossed the strike zone plane, so that's what we're using. So we don't have access to pitcher's intended information. If we did, then we might even be able to do more than that, but that's what we got. Okay, and so that's all the time we have for questions. So thank you very much. Again, we will be available tonight at the mixer and around the conference for those who would like to interact with us further. Thank you very much.